at a later time. But I thank you for them as well, Father God, and I ask you to bless them and minister to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I pray, Father, that everyone will have ears to hear and a heart to receive the living, powerful word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I thank you for that. Dear Lord, I thank you for your call. I thank you for your anointing and the Holy Spirit ability that you have given me to minister your word. And Father, I'll be so careful to give you the glory, to give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Praise God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to begin reading at verse 1, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. And I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Isn't that good? I said, isn't that good?
Amen.
Amen. Let me read verse 2 again. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, see, I could just jump off on that and preach the rest of my time just on that alone, which I've been touching on it over the weeks anyway. Amen. Praise God, being of one mind, being of on one accord, and that's one mind and one accord in the Word of God, not out there something in out in left field somewhere, amen. Something crazy. No. We're to be one mind and one accord in the Word of God, amen. Verse 3: Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Can I get an amen on that one?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests. Oh, glory. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests. Let each of you look out not for his own interests. Now, in my generation, we grew up with records. You know, you had the little 45s, and then what was the other one? 32s? 33s? 33s. There was another one, wasn't it? 78s. All right. He's dating himself. Amen. But on those records, you know, after a while, you get a scratch. You get a scratch in them. And so what would happen when you get a scratch in them? It would start repeating itself. You know, it start repeating itself. And you have to kind of bump it or touch it to kind of get it going. So I guess I'm like a scratch record here on verse 4, but I am going to scratch it one more time. All right. It says, verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, let me finish it now, but also for the interest of others. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to be like-minded with Christ. We're supposed to be like-minded with Christ. Whatever mind Jesus Christ had, that's the mind that we're to take on. Because he is our example. I said, he is our example. Jesus Christ is our example. Oh, glory be to God. We do have an example to follow. Amen. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, look, listen to me very closely here. And this is referring to the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Oh, glory to God. You hear me? Glory to God. God has given him the name, highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. So whatever it is that has a name, the name of Jesus is above that name. I don't care who it is and I don't care what it is. The name of Jesus is greater. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven, hallelujah, and of those on earth, those in heaven bow so willingly. So gladly. You hear me? Amen. Those in earth, some of them got to think about it. Well, I'll bow if I feel like it. I'm tired. I'm not kneeling. I'm not praying. I'm not praising. Those are the ones that walk and live according to their feelings. But thank God you got us on earth. We're like the ones in heaven. We love to bow. We love to honor him. We love to reverence him. We love to acknowledge who he is. Hallelujah. Amen. And then it talks about those under the earth, those in hell. Now, you know, there's some folks in hell right now that were trash talkers when they were in the earth. They were big. They were bad. But you know, one day, they too are going to bow. Going to be too late, but they're going to bow. Hallelujah. Why? Because the name of Jesus is above every name. God has highly exalted him above everything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me tell you something. One day, the devil himself is going to have to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. It's not going to help him any, but he's going to have to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us even the devils believe and tremble. They know who he is. They ask him one time, Jesus, are you coming to torment us before the time? Because they do know there is a time that they are going to be tormented for all eternity. Are you here with me? Praise the name of the Lord. All right, having said all that, that is so good. But I want you to pay special attention to verse 6 and verse 7 again, then we'll move on. Talking about Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Let's read verse 8 again. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So my message, and I sort of said some things last week, but my message is developing your character as a Christian. Amen. Developing your character as a Christian, as a believer. Now, having made that statement, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6, and I'm going to tie all this together. Proverbs chapter 6. And I told you the other week that I would be revisiting this again. In Proverbs chapter 6, go to verse 16. We were there the other week. And it says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him. Look at verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Now, let's look at the first part of verse 17. It says that six things God hates, and one of these six things, which is the first one on the list, is a proud look. A proud look. In other words, what God is saying is, I hate pride. Pride. Now, God don't hate people. Amen? Amen. But God does hate sin. And we should hate sin. God hates sin. But God loves people. But it says here in Proverbs 6, that one of the things that God hates is a proud look. In other words, he's talking about pride itself. And pride is a dangerous thing. It is. It's a very dangerous thing. And it's easy. Listen to me. We can expect the world to be the world. Amen? I mean, they many of them are proud and uppity, and, you know, they feel like they are better than other people. Got plenty of money. Many of them have material possessions, all they could ever want and more. So they develop a certain air about themselves. But that should never be in the body of Christ. You hear me? Doesn't matter what you own, how many houses you have, how many cars you have, how much money you have in the bank. That should not be in the body of Christ. It's dangerous. But let me tell you something. Can I help you with something? That's one of the main enemies. Listen to me. That's one of the main enemies that believers have to fight. P-R-I-D-E. Look at me. Look at what I have accomplished. Look at what I'm doing. Look how God is blessing me. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving a testimony to the goodness of God, all right? Bragging on God is one thing. Bragging on yourself is totally different. You still here? Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. God hates that. Because the Bible says, let everything that we do be done to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Have people tell me all the time, Pastor, you know, you have a beautiful facility here. And I say, to God be the glory. And I'm not just saying that, trying to look spiritual. I mean it. I am nobody's fool. I know without God's help, we would not have this facility. Without trusting God, following Him, we wouldn't have it. Amen. God is the blessor, and we are the blessed. And we can never, or should never, lose sight of that fact. Whatever good thing you have, unless you got it illegally or sinfully, it's a blessing from God. Amen. If you got it from honest labor, if you got it by faith, believing God, it's a blessing. Amen. Now, if you took it from somebody, it's not a blessing. If you stole it, it's not a blessing. If you cheated somebody out of something, that's not a blessing. Don't come to church giving a testimony about God blessed you with a certain amount of money and you ripped somebody off. Amen. That's not a blessing. Matter of fact, you got somebody else's money or somebody else's possession. Hallelujah. Amen. God don't want any part of that. Exactly.
But in the church, you know, I observe in the, when I say church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, okay? That God's people too many times are fighting and scratching and doing whatever they can, trying to get ahead, trying to get noticed. And, you know, I'm about to say something, and some folks may take issue with what I'm about to say, but other folk ministers, they do what they feel like they have to do, or I should say what God's leading them to do, and hopefully that is the case. And if God tells them to do it, then they should do that, okay? But I remember years ago, and I'm not saying this is wrong, but I'm talking about how God dealt with me. But years ago, I sent out some letters to different churches, and I wasn't pastoring then, but I sent some letters to different churches and letting them know that I was available to come minister, and you know, I would be honored to come and minister at their church, and so I sent some out, and I got some response. And not a whole lot of responses, but I got some. And, but after I sent the letters out, you know, I was praying and spending some time with the Lord, and the Lord told me, okay, understand what I'm saying? The Lord told me not to send out any more letters, not to contact anybody. Now, what he's telling you may be different than what he told me. I'm talking about me. But God spoke to me not to do it. He says, I'll open the door when the time is right. My timing was off. You follow me? My timing was off. So I didn't send out any anymore. But I made a decision. I'm called by God. I know I'm called by God. So I'm not going to scratch. I'm not going to pull my hair out. I had hair back then. Some of y'all praising the Lord. But I'm not going to pull my hair out and worry and be concerned about whether I have an opportunity to minister or not. Amen. I'm just going to continue to seek God. I'm going to follow him. And he's going to make it happen for me. Amen. And he did. When the timing was right, he did. Now, I'm not saying that any other minister need to do like I did. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that there's too much competition in the church, just not among some ministers, but even among church members. Because, you know, if I don't have this position, then I'm just not going to come to church. Or if I can't get this position, I'm just not going to cooperate. I'm just going to make it hard on the person that got the position I want. Maybe if I can get them to the pastor or whoever's in charge to fire them or release them, maybe he'll choose me next. And there's no place for that in the body of Christ. Y'all still here? Amen. Folks, that's called pride. Amen. Pride. You're trying to fight your way to the top, rather than trusting your way to the top. I think I need to say that again. Too many people trying to fight their way to the top rather than trusting their way to the top. Amen. Amen. I remember I was sitting in my kitchen, and my wife was there, and another couple was there. He's a minister, friend of ours to this day. And I had been praying about some things, and I wasn't pastoring then either. I was praying about some things. I wanted to make sure that I followed God in my life. And it's important to me that I follow God. It's important to me that I be where God wants me to be, doing what he wants me to be doing. Amen? Amen. So that's important to me. So I had been praying. This person didn't know it, but the husband, we were having time of fellowship, laughing, talking, and talking about the things of God. And the husband looked at me, and he said, "Brother James, the Lord says that a man's gift will make room for him. Your gift will make room for you." When he prophesied that to me, seemed like all the doors were closed to me as a minister. I wasn't pastoring at that time, but seemed like all the doors were closed. I had nowhere to go. But he says, the Bible says, a man's gift will make room for him, and your gift will make room for you. And I want to tell you, that blessed me. Y'all hear me? That blessed me. And that I settled myself down because God was in control. So I had to keep seeking him. Amen. And of course, God came through for us. Now, I could have decided, no, I'm just going to fight and scratch and step on whoever I have to step on to get where I want to be. Well, that's the way the world operates. Are y'all still here?
Yes.
I say that's the way the world operates. But if we are in God's family, God don't operate that way. I don't have to pull a brother or sister down in order for me to come up. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
I'm not in competition with anyone. I think I need to repeat that one. I am not in competition with anyone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's by choice. That's by choice. And I've talked to many believers that are proud of what they have done for the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with rejoicing on how God has used you, because we all, I believe we all want to be used by God, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. When I leave this earth, I want to leave a legacy. I want people to know that God used me for his glory. Hallelujah. But it's not about me. It's all about him. Amen. And I hope this church, and I believe that this church is a growing church, and I'm not just talking about numerically, although we welcome that, praise God, but I'm talking about spiritually. a growing church that if Pastor James was not on the scene, you wouldn't fall apart. I believe that over the years that I have imparted enough on the inside of you that even if I was not on the scene, you still know who Jesus is. Because James didn't save you, Jesus did. I might have prayed for you to get healed or to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. James didn't do it, Jesus did. I was only a vessel in his service. Y'all listening to me? See, too many people get stuck on themselves. Without Jesus, we are nothing. Matter of fact, Jesus himself said, without me, you can do nothing. Don't get on your high horses and start thinking I'm all this and I'm all that. Jesus said, without me, you can't do a thing. Oh, you can do some stuff, but it's going to be you doing it. No wonder the Lord said that there'll be some that'll stand before him and say, Lord, Lord, take a look at what I did for you. I did this and we did that and we did them. And they got a long list of what they did. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I don't know you. What was Jesus saying? You was doing your own thing. You was doing your own thing. You didn't allow me to lead you. You didn't allow me to direct your path. I wanted you driving the bus and you was determined you was going to preach. You in the pulpit preaching when you were supposed to have been, you was trying to be a church pastor when you were supposed to be a bus pastor. Think I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Oh, glory to God. Ain't nothing sweeter. There's nothing more peaceful than to be where he's called you to be. Are you listening to what I'm saying? See, because when we do our thing, that pride come in. Oh, look at me. Ain't I good? Ain't I great? I know I use the word ain't, but ain't I fabulous? Don't you just appreciate me for all that I have accomplished? That's pride. Pride will cause us to want to be somebody we're not. Pride will cause us to want to be or do something that God hasn't called us to do or called us to be. And the reason is we're seeking recognition from man rather than recognition from God. Notice it says here, and we're going to move on, but it says in back in Philippians, I'm here at Proverbs right now, but in Philippians it says that Jesus humbled himself, but God has what? Highly exalted him. And we'll see some more of this. But I want you to understand, listen to me, when you humble yourself or when we humble ourselves, we put ourselves in a position where God can exalt us. Now, God may use a man or a woman to do it, but it will be God. that's orchestrating the whole thing. Hallelujah. Am I helping anybody yet? So we have to understand then that God hates pride, and he says he hates a proud look, which is pride, really what it is. So it's a dangerous thing because it can get us out of the will, cause us to be out of the will of God. Now, listen, I'm not talking about not respecting yourself when we're talking about humility and humbling yourself. I'm not talking about not respecting yourself or not loving yourself, because the Bible tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. So you're supposed to love you. Love you. I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. Just flip back. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Listen to what it says, verse 14. Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise you. That's the Lord. David says, I'll praise you, Lord. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You see that? Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Guys, if you put that on the screen for me, but I want it New Living Translation. I want to read it from the New Living Translation for you. It says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Now, we could take that one or two ways. We can say, told you I was something. I mean, look at all this. Ain't I something? No, that's not what that's talking about. We need to love ourselves because we are wonderfully made, wonderfully complex. Amen. Let me read it again. This is New Living Translation again. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Anything that God does is good. Amen. He does all things well. Amen. And when he created you and me, he did a wonderful job. But guess what we're supposed to do? Give him the glory and not brag on ourselves, not get caught up with ourselves. Glory to God. I said glory to God. God does all things well. Pastor, what about babies that are born deformed and this and that and the other? Because I know people have questions. God does all things well. Now, if a child is deformed in some manner, there is a reason for that, but it's not because God wants to punish the mother or the father. Something happened somewhere. Something went wrong somewhere. But God does all things well. Amen. And let me tell you something. there's not a thing wrong with that child's spirit. There's just some issues with his house. Or sometimes it can be emotional or mental. But let me tell you, God is a healer of all things. You hear me? He is a healer of all things. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So if a child is born and they're not formed exactly the way they should, don't blame God for that. Well, say that's God's will for my child. No, it's not. We're in the world. And because we're in the world, the devil tries stuff. But it is not God's will. And I've heard it said, this is what God wanted. This is what God wanted for us. If God had not given us this child in the state he or she in, we'd have never come to Jesus. I don't believe that either. God wants your children well. He wants them whole in every way. Y'all listening to me? But there are other circumstances. There's a reason for everything. But what we need to do is, first of all, don't blame God and begin to pray for our child or whoever the individual may be, because God is a healing God. He is a healing God. But you make up your mind, I'm going to love God and honor him and praise him anyway. Amen. Too many of God's people, hear me good, too many of God's people get angry at God because some things didn't turn out the way they thought they should. I'm here to tell you, it was not God's fault. I'm not here to tell you I got all the answers, because I don't. But I do know we serve a good God. The Bible says God is good. Come on. God is good. Come on, say it with me. God is good. Say it again. God is good. Now say this. God is good to me.
God is good to me.
Hallelujah. He's good, and he's a God of love. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not standing up here trying to explain everything, because I can't, but I know God is good, and I know God wants good things for us. And God's not in the business of killing your babies or deforming your babies. Now, man is a whole different story. God is good. Amen. Praise his name. Amen. So because we are so wonderfully made by God, listen to this, God chose our race. He chose our skin color, our hair texture. Our height. And we should never go to God and say, Lord, why in the world did you create me tall? Lord, why in the world did you create me short? Lord, why did you create me a black man? I don't want to be black. No, God wants to use me for his glory as a black man. God wants to use you for his glory, whatever race, nationality, whatever you are. God wants to use you for his glory. Isn't God good? That's the reason there's no room for hating each other. Amen. No room for that stuff in the body of Christ. Seventy-one years ago, God didn't call me front and center and say, son, in about 9 months, I'm going to send you into the earth. So right now, I want you to choose your parents. Black, white, Asian, whatever else. Rich, poor. I got a list here, so you tell me what you want so I can check them off. He didn't do that. We just showed up the way we are. And that's the reason we need to not overestimate ourselves, but we still need to love ourselves. Amen. Love yourself. Now, I know sometimes we do things to ourselves, but we can't blame God for that. But you love yourself. Hallelujah. God chose you to be you. And you can do something good being you. Let me say that again. You can do something good being you. Scratch that. God and you are extremely successful. Amen. Glory be to God. So we need to take our eyes off ourselves and put our eyes on God and thank him. Hallelujah. I was born into a poor family. Yep, I was born into a poor family. Got very few toys growing up. I had to create my own. I had a great imagination. Y'all, some of y'all heard about my imaginations. If I wanted me a brand new car, I just went out and found me a brand new stick. Some folks rode their horse sticks. I rode my car sticks. If I want a newer model, I just go out and cut me a fresh limb. Now, you might say, that sounds crazy. But I did it. And guess what? I was happy. Really didn't know I was poor until somebody told me. Hallelujah. But guess what? I gave my life to Jesus. Amen. And I said, Lord, you take me, use me for your glory. Amen. And God said, I'm calling you to be a preacher. Say, what? But Lord, I can't do that. Lord, that ain't me. Lord, I'm not calling you to be them. I'm calling you to be you. I have anointed you to be you and to be what I have called you to be and to do what I have called you to do. And I'm determined to stay within my anointing. That's where I'm best. Hallelujah. Y'all got me preaching. I'm supposed to be letting y'all go, don't I? We need to visit this again, don't y'all but think so? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Jesus, the word of God says he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's getting us ready, folks. He's getting us ready. Don't fight him. Don't resist. Work with him. Work with him. But Lord, I don't want this. And Lord, I don't want, I don't like spinach. I don't want to eat spinach. Eat it anyway. It's good for you. Everything God gives you may not taste good, but it's good for you. Everything God tells you to do, you might not want to do it, but do it because it's good for you. There y'all go. He got me preaching again. Hallelujah. But we got to get the pride out. We got to get the eye out. Oh, I want to talk some more about that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn this page over, and I'm going to slip it into my Bible. But should the Lord tarry, that's next week. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you excited about the Lord?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I want to speak. Those of you that's in the sanctuary, I'm going to ask you to stay with me just for a few minutes after we live stream. Just stay with me because I got some things I want to say. But for those of you that are live streaming, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to extend this invitation to you to receive him now into your heart as your Lord and as your Savior. He loves you. He loves you. Doesn't matter who you are, he loves you. And he's the one that created you. It don't matter if you are a product of rape. The rape was wrong. The rape was sinful. But God loves you. God loves you. And he wants to be a part of your life. And he wants to bring healing to your life. He wants to bring peace to your life. Doesn't matter your circumstances right now. God wants to bring peace and healing to your life. Jesus will do that for you. All you have to do right now, reach out by faith and receive him into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Take it, I give it to you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. Wash me clean by your blood. And I thank you for doing that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to live by your Spirit on the inside of me. I receive you now by faith. I thank you. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer with me, we rejoice with you. The Bible says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we would love to hear from you. You can write us. The information will be on the screen. Or you can email us. That information will be on the screen. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your testimony of what Jesus Christ has just done in your life. Amen. Now, if you're also live streaming with us and you're sick in your body, and you say, I need God's